you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening. He was greatly perplexed because some were saying, John has been raised from the dead. Others were saying, Elijah has appeared. Still others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen. But Herod said, John I beheaded. Who then is this about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Earlier this week, we had the 3 days of the book of Ezra. We begin today 2 days in 2 years of the prophet Haggai, because tomorrow is the solemnity of or the feast of St. Michael. We get 1 day in 2 years of the prophet Haggai. So it's very important for us to focus on what we hear if we're going to live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Prophet Haggai was preaching in the second year of King Darius, as we heard. Darius followed Cyrus. Now, Cyrus and Darius and the Persians were very good to the Jews, in basically saying they would pay for the temple to be rebuilt. Not only would they give them permission to build it, but they would reimburse the Jews for the resources. But King Cyrus was now dead. Darius was there. What the Jews had done on the destroyed Temple Mount here is they erected an altar. But then they started to say, as we hear at the beginning of today's reading, the people says the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. As they were building their own paneled houses. Paneling today sometimes is considered a little cheap. Wasn't at that time. To be able to do that with wood. They were caring, in other words, for their own interest before they were putting the Lord's interest there. They were delaying on the things of God in order to prioritize their own pleasures. And God hadn't freed them from captivity for this. So through the prophet Haggai, wanted to call them to conversion and a little bit of holy urgency. They were seeking happiness in ways that would never be able to deliver. So the prophet Haggai said, consider your ways. Think about what you're doing. You've sown much but brought in little. And the more you sow, you won't bring in what you're really seeking. You've eaten but you haven't been satisfied because food isn't going to feed your deepest hunger. You've drunk but you haven't been exhilarated. Because the inebriation that you're looking for can't be given by booze. You've clothed yourselves, but haven't been warmed. Because it's missing the fire that comes from within. And whoever earned wages, earned them in a bag with holes in it. That all of this, in this world, will just eventually fade away. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways again. And then he tells them to build the temple. Go up to the hill country, bring timber, and build the house. And then there comes a line that seems egocentric, but it's not egocentric at all. That I may take pleasure in it and receive my glory, says the Lord. What is the pleasure that the Lord will take? We heard that in the responsorial psalm. The Lord takes delight, he takes pleasure in his people. By showering us with his blessing, when we open ourselves up precisely to receive those gifts, and receive my glory, which is in hero worship. Because as we know from St. Irenaeus, the glory of God is man come fully alive. God wanted that house to be built so that he could precisely make us part of that temple, as we've been pondering throughout the week. Remember the contrast between this situation at the time of the prophet Haggai and the situation with King David. King David wanted to build a house for the Lord, and Nathan initially blessed that holy aspiration. But then the Lord spoke to Nathan, and Nathan went to David and said, "It's not you who are going to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house." And that house would be his 28th generation grandson, according to the genealogy, Jesus Christ. The Lord wants us to prioritize building things for him, because it's precisely in so doing that we open ourselves up to the construction project he has planned in us since the foundation of the world. So today is a day for us to consider our ways. What do we really prioritize? Are we prioritizing the things of the Lord? Building his kingdom? Or at a practical level, not at a theoretical level, because at a theoretical level, of course, we as priests and religious are focused on the things of the Lord. But at a practical level, are we concerned about our little things or his really big things, which we'll be able to find even in the midst of those little things? Are we seeking to hallow his name or ours? To do his will or ours? For his kingdom to come, for our authority, our kingdom to be built. Today is a day in which we can rectify whatever parts of our intention need to be rectified. Today's gospel, we see a contrast with what God is calling us. Herod has already murdered John the Baptist, but his conscience is guilty. He doesn't know it quite yet, because unfortunately he is so debased. But when he had heard about all that Jesus was doing, there was this fascination in him. And his people are saying, "John the Baptist is risen from the dead, or one of the ancient prophets is arisen." He wanted to see Jesus, as we'll see when Jesus was arrested. He wanted Jesus to perform some type of miracle. As Pope Francis said this morning in the Vatican, wanted Jesus to be a circus act, do things for him. But this type of curiosity, this type of fascination, is not what the Lord is asking. He wants a commitment in response to his total commitment to us. That's the only way in which there's going to be this mutual building, that as we seek to build for the Lord, he himself builds us on his son, the cornerstone. This is something that sadly we don't have any evidence that Herod ever allowed. Today, though, the church celebrates the feast of a saint who did, who's got much to teach us. He's the first Filipino saint, not to mention martyr. And it's a beautiful story. A lot of the times the Filipinos don't talk about the whole story enough. But I think San Lorenzo has great inspiration for every Christian. He was a married man, 3 kids, was a Dominican tertiary. And it seems that he murdered someone. Don't know that for certain. He was at least certainly accused of murder, and he needed to run away. So there were a few Dominicans who were leaving the port, and they were taking a leper with them. He hopped aboard the ship, didn't know quite where it was going, thought that it might be going to Formosa, what we call Taiwan. But he discovered, once they had left the port, that they were heading to Japan during one of the ferocious anti-Christian shogunates. So we arrived, and it didn't take very long for all of them to be caught out as Christian. And while he was in captivity, as everyone was being threatened, he actually asked the question, if I really apostatized, would it save my life? Didn't really get an answer, but it was a real time for him to figure out what was most necessary, to open himself up to the way that the Lord would build himself even through his death. He considered his ways, came through it saying that he was going to be faithful to the end. So he was being tortured like the others were being tortured. And the Japanese all had doctorates in sadism. They hung them upside down by their ankles. Well, no, first, they filled them with water. They just constantly kept forcing down more and more water so that their bladder and all their cells were totally saturated. Then they put a board over their stomach and started jumping so that not only would it burst out from the mouth, but from the ears, from the eyes, from basically all their pores. Extraordinarily painful. Then flip them upside down, hang them by the ankles over a pit, slitting behind the ears so that they'd slowly bleed to death over about 3 days. And as they were doing this to San Lorenzo said very famously, if I had 1,000 lives to give, I would give every one for the Lord. He's beatified by St. John Paul II in 1981, canonized 7 years later. St. John Paul II lifted him up. It's a model for us all. We may have committed all types of sins as he did, but the Lord wants us to consider our ways, to recognize that we have one life to give, and to give it, holding nothing back. We have a chance every day to do what he did 380 years ago today in Nagasaki. To give that life. The whole offertory is basically Romans 12 verse 1. When Jesus preparing to give himself to us, who as priests asks us as his brothers and sisters, to give ourselves in return so that together with him we can be lifted up to the Father. Offer your bodies, brothers and sisters, as a holy sacrifice, pleasing and acceptable to the Lord, your logike latreia, the only worship that makes sense. This is what we do in this prayer, yours and mine, asking that it be acceptable to the Lord. As Jesus gives his life for us and would give it 1,000 times over, 1,000 times more painfully, so that he might erect his eternal abode within us. Let us respond in kind through the intercession of San Lorenzo. We may not be hung upside down over a pit today, but the Lord's going to give us plenty of means by which to show a similar love. Let's consider our ways. Let's give pleasure to the Lord through our response today. Glorify him.